Is this better?
I mean, that's definitely still a little distorted, but yeah. I mean, you sound a little like Puffy on Victory. So,
Hey. Thank you for that tweet yesterday.
I saw that and I was like, I mean, you going?
I mean, listen, there is no are you. It's how close am I going to be to the stage. It's how much money I plan on spending.
I mean, I just hope they don't try to. I hope he doesn't bring out French Montana on like every track. To ruin it for you. Like, you're right. Like they start up the All About the Benjamins remix beat, and then it's French Montana.
Yeah, and here come the Harry Fraud drums.
Don't even. Oh,
wait. Let's save it for the show.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, you should definitely follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is where you can get all of our episodes. We are, God, Doc, how many episodes are we in, man?
Boy, I should really know that, shouldn't I?
I mean, we normally say the number at the beginning of the show, but we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we are. Oh, man. How do I not know this? I have to actually go to our website to figure this out. This is 225.
Wow. We are 225 episodes deep. So if you are new to the show, you got a lot of catching up to do. So go to clockradiospeakers.com. Go to iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Whatever podcast app you have, if you have Android, I recommend Pocket Cast. We're on Stitcher? We're on Stitcher as well. Or if you are a loyal reader of 4thdistrict.com, you can check us out there. Shout out to the whole team there, the squad there. And yeah. What's up, Doc? What's going on, son?
We took a week off.
Warranted. Nothing happened.
Took a week off. I had to do some demolition for my kitchen renovation, being all domestic.
That's the life. You know.
That's the life. All the years I've spent watching HDTV, you know, I get to put that into some amount of use. But nah, man, things are good. Everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats_s9z. More importantly, follow the show. Follow Armand at CRS Podcast, all one word. So do not adjust your speakers or your headphones. Armand is not being run through a guitar amp. He is just that excited about episode.
This week's episode, I'm just letting y'all know right now, I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers. And I don't say that very excitedly, but I have some very heavy things to say.
And we're not talking like, you're not trying to do hot take. Like, this this is not, you know, first take, skip it, Stephen A. Like, we're not going, we just, mm-hmm. you know, we're having a conversation.
Never, ever, ever, ever will Doc and I be anything near Stephen A. Smith or Skip Baseless. Never, ever. I can't stoop myself that low. And I won't let Doc go that low. And I know Doc's a man of integrity and he won't do it either. So we're not here for the ratings. Because if we were, we'd be a lot of you other podcasts. Hey ho! I just wanted to send a shot. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I'm done. I'm back.
The worst part is now we're going to see the tweets. Who are you talking about? What podcast? Name names. See what you started?
Listen, man. Calling out. Didn't Corrupt do a song called Calling Out Names?
Calling Out Names. Did he even call out any names in that song?
He did. He said, Mother FD.
Oh.
Only X I know is Exhibit or RBX.
He really tried to cram a lot of syllables in that line, didn't he? But that that was Corrupt. He never met that a syllable he couldn't fit into a line.
Now, was Corrupt like the ill lyrical MC that a lot of people claim that he was in his day?
He was a unique hybrid. He was half West Coast, half lyrical schmirical, but not really. Like, it was funny because he was from Philly, but
yep.
I don't know. Like, when I listen to that Dog Food album, which is an amazing album.
Yes, it is.
I don't exactly hear a lot of Philly West Coast on that. I'm sorry, a lot of Philly East Coast sound. Like, he was definitely West Coast on there.
Absolutely.
Look at this. These are outdated terms. West Coast. Well, everybody sounds the same now, right?
What were you supposed to say? What is that term in current slang?
That's what I mean. Do we even have... Well, actually, this is something I want to talk about today.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about labels. We're going to talk about because we're going to talk about religion and hip hop. This is Religion and Hip Hop Part 2.
Dun, dun, dun.
The sequel to one of our better episodes.
Definitely one of our more infamous episodes. Yep.
And I want to talk about, what does it mean, you know, does putting labels on hip hop, does that even matter anymore? And so, like, that's a little foreshadowing we're going to talk about. But so, you know, we used to describe, you know, people used to call certain kinds of music, you know, there'd be gangster rap.
Yep.
You know, you might have like conscious rap, backpack. Like, there were labels that you could throw on something and then it would connotate a sound. And now, like, you can sort of say like a trap beat and people kind of know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way that hip hop works, like, you could be an artist and have a song that has a trap beat, but then your next song on the project sounds totally different, and that's totally accepted.
Yep.
So anyway.
All right. A little ahead of yourself.
I'm ready to go. But we have, there's actually some random stuff I want to talk about first before we get into that.
Okay. Let's go.
We had somebody ask about this on Twitter, and I wanted to bring it up anyway. You see, man, Fat Joe.
Yeah.
Claiming that he knows the New York Nick that was the topic of Big's I Got a Story to Tell.
Yeah.
Anthony Mason?
I heard that years ago.
I always thought it was Allen Houston.
No, not. Was he on the Knicks in 96, 97?
I think so.
I thought he was like 98, 99.
That's when he signed the big deal, I think.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, Knicks in the Heat, Van Gundy on Alonzo. Like, I thought that was Allen Houston's.
96 joined the Knicks.
Okay. So it's plausible. I heard it was Anthony Mason. Shoot, 2013 or something like that. I heard that a while ago.
Like, I heard that years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, like,
that's years is plural.
It's true.
But I mean, hey,
no. So that wasn't any revelation to you at all.
Nah, I mean, and I think Fat Joe embellishes stories, but I don't think he lies.
Okay.
So I'm not, you know, but I'm just like, why now? You got an album coming out?
Because all the way up is only going to do so much.
And that's unfortunate. We've talked about that before.
It's a good record.
I think they're a little late on the remix. You know, if they've really got a Jay-Z verse, they need to let that go now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, that was the rumor like a month ago that they got a remix with Jay on it.
Hmm.
Yeah, they should have been let that go. So I'm hearing that, speaking of Jay, I'm hearing that Jay featuring Khaled record is coming really, really soon too.
Who? I could apply it to anyone, to any number of people.
I'm just laughing at another who that you told me about the text. that was a really good and terrible who.
Mm,
Cindy Hulu.
Cindy
Hulu. Cindy Lou Who. There we go.
Speaking of people I jokingly give the who to, your man. Joe Budden.
Yeah.
He's doing his last tour.
Yeah.
Is he retiring?
That's what he says. He said that for a while.
Is this going to be one of those things where, you know, he retires and then when he has another reality show, he has a comeback album and we got to do this whole thing? Or do you think it, because I don't really pay that much attention to Joe. So like, is his heart really just not in it anymore? And he's like, no, I'm just going to do something else.
I think that the, well, he's working on a collab mixtape with A-Rap Music. So, and he's just straight rapping. It's straight rappity rap Joe. No emo, no girl songs, none of that. Yeah, I mean, but when you think about it, when he started the whole all love lost, some love lost, no love lost or whatever, that's been over a good 4 or 5 year period. So there's people who don't even know that Joe is like a low-key a mixtape rapper. Or that's how he started. He's on the same wavelength as Fab at one point. It was him and 50 Cent. Like, those were one and two with New York mixtapes at one point. Mm-hmm. And now he's the loving hip hop guy who, you know, dates all the women, the shapely women. That's a good word.
Shapely women.
You know what I'm saying? And talks crazy on Twitter, whatever. But I mean, at this point in Joe's career, unless it's a Slaughterhouse project, which is completely gone silent, what else can you do?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from them in a while.
I heard it was some label stuff.
If by label stuff, does that mean they don't have a single?
Right.
Well, does that even matter anymore?
That's what I'm saying. So remember, it was like Just Blaze, Illmind, yeah. Cardiac, and Justice League. So I heard Just Blaze on Rap Radar's podcast maybe about a month ago. He said the album is done. They've just got a, I think he said, either he said it's getting mastered or getting mixed or something like that. But they said all the recording is done, but there's some label stuff. So I don't know. You know, Eminem is like the Isaiah Thomas of like hip hop record labels.
You want to break that down?
I'm sorry. Great rapper, terrible GM. So
very few rappers are. I mean, this doesn't necessarily surprise me. Like, I mean, the skills that it takes to be a musician are not necessarily the same skills that it takes to not just get the right artist, but then help them along through the creative and like, and then the business process of like getting something out. So
absolutely. So I don't know. Do we want a Slaughterhouse album in 2016?
I'm sure there are people who do.
I'm sure there are people who do too. That was one of our worst episodes just in terms of slander. I need to go back and hear that Slaughterhouse episode. I wonder if it was as bad as I remember.
It was terrible. I probably went a little heavy.
Probably
went a little heavy.
Yeah.
These are regrets that I have as not having regrets.
Come on, man. This is the number one rule for your set. You know that. In order to survive, you gotta learn to live with regrets. Don't get quiet on me. I'm waiting on you to bring up the one thing that I'm dying to talk about.
Okay. Let's talk about this T.I. single real quick.
I haven't heard it yet, but I've actually heard good things about it.
Okay. Well, you could just stop right there. It is, you know, it's every mid-2000s Dre beat you ever heard.
Okay.
Not quite as heavy on like the, it's not like heavy and overbearing. It's got a Aaliyah Rock the Boat sample. Mid-tempo, does not in any way sound like a 2016 hip-hop song. Now,
does it?
I'm not saying it needs to necessarily, but it's also not like it's good, but if it were produced by anybody other than Dre, it would not be a single. It's one of those records where because of the name involved, it becomes a single with a video and everything. You know, I mean, you hear it and it's like, this is fine. This is cool. Not bad. It's cool. But like, it's not blowing anybody away. And T.I. kind of needs that right now. T.I. needs a record.
I don't think T.I. should be rapping at all. And I'm not saying that like, oh, he's washed. He's just like transitioned. You know, he's the guy who still goes to the club, even though he has a wife and like four kids. And his kids are like in middle school.
Well, yeah, I guess what I would say is, for him, unless he, for whatever reason, he has like just that record, right, then why even do it?
I agree.
Like, this is the kind of single you get from somebody who's like obligated to put stuff out.
Right. I get what you're saying.
But you're hearing good things about it?
Yeah, I heard good things about it. If you're saying it's every mid-2000s Dre beat, does it have like overbearing, like...
No, it's not a heavy Dre beat.
It's not dun dun dun.
No.
Dun, like, there's no... that. They're like Dre beats are really, really, they're really subtle. So really loud, like really big drums with sparing keys. Clung, 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 clung. And then like after every maybe fourth bar, there's a dun, 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 dun. And then it goes back to being every beat that was on the Big Bang.
Yeah. Some of those were really good.
They were. Don't get me wrong. They were. But that,
I mean, you did sort of describe the opening. Get You Some from Busta's from the Big Bang. That beat is amazing.
That beat is dope.
Okay.
It is dope. Oh, speaking of which, I think you guys are snoozing on our Busta Rhymes retro. I think they're snoozing on it, Doc. That was a really, really good episode.
Is it because people are like, nah, Busta, it's not what I, you know. I think that's actually what made it interesting, right? He's not somebody who has obvious classics. Like, to me, like, look, I love our Jay and Nas and our old retros and stuff like that, but like, you do a Jay retro, all right. We're gonna fawn over Reasonable Doubt. We're gonna talk about the beats on Blueprint. Like, you kind of know, but Busta Retro, it kind of catches you. You're like, wait a minute. Like, it kind of forces you to, especially if you go back and listen to stuff. And I mean, this is gonna sound weird, but like, it's 2016. I kind of assume most of the people listening have access to some kind of streaming service. So like,
yeah.
To go back and listen to it, you know, maybe, you know, listen to us talk about one album, go listen to it, see what you think. You might be surprised. Like, some of it is, you know, you appreciate stuff differently now. And some of it as well is just, boy, that aged well, or oh my goodness, that did not age well.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Busta Rhymes now. Lenny Kravitz now.
And yes, there is an appropriate amount of laughter.
It's a good episode.
We didn't overslander. An appropriate amount of laughter.
I don't think we overslandered at all. I think
that's what Busta, I'm saying.
I think, okay, so here are two extremes.
Okay.
I think Busta came out of his retro looking better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Fugees came out of their retro looking worse.
Well, that's because, yeah.
But the Fugees have a better legacy. When people think of the Fugees, they think of Miseducation, they think of The Score, they think of Killing Me Softly. Like, we don't talk about the low points of the Fugees in their discography. There's a lot.
I think it's because Busta was always not quite like upper echelon, but in that upper mid-range tier.
He's a B plus player.
He was a B plus player for a long time. So there's a lot of Busta. And then, you know, he started and this happens to many rappers. You start sort of setting or being on the leading edge of trends. And by the end of your career, you're following trends and you're chasing them. It's pretty blatant. The Fugees, it was so quick.
It was quick, yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, they had Blunted on Reality, but I mean, for most people, it starts with Fuji Law.
Absolutely.
And then for a certain fan, it starts with Fuji Law and it ends with Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it.
Yep.
You know, and that's a very short time span. And even in there was hilariousness. Now, some of that too is, you know, we talk about it a lot. I think it's because we were teenagers during this time, but just in general, like hip hop in 96, 97, 98 was moving so fast.
Yes, it
like
was.
The style changed so much and people didn't really know. And so the combination of things in a weird way, styles changed so much. And because music worked different, the music industry worked differently. There was more lead time. You couldn't react as quickly to trends. There was no home studios really. Like people had to go into a studio, had to get the CD pressed up. You needed a long lead time. You needed to get it to the magazines early. So you had to anticipate this thing I'm hearing now in May. When my album comes out in September, is that still going to be the sound?
Right.
Now, we haven't really had a big sonic shift like that lately. And what we're instead sort of getting is, like, now everybody can do anything from any type of sound.
Uh-huh.
You know, but we went from, like, you listen to just the Fugees alone. I mean, listen to, like, what they did in 90s. Like, listen to, like, The Score and then listen to Wyclef's The Carnival.
Yeah.
And this happened to lots of other rappers, too. You know, Jay's a great example, right? In 96, Jay does Reasonable Doubt, right? In 97, he's got Sunshine as his lead single.
Yep.
Right? And then in 98, he's putting out a record that's got, you know, a couple Swiss beats on it and stuff like that. Like, he had to sort of anticipate, and everybody who was making, who had summer or fall 97 albums come out, they all had to sort of, or songs that were supposed to come out, they all had to make this judgment. They all had to say, is this Puff sound? Is this going to be the move? Do I need to make a record like that? And so a bunch of people put out records, and some of them we remember fondly, and some of them are kind of hilarious, like Avenues, which never stops being funny.
And Blue Angels. And,
well, but then they just doubled down on it. That's a case where they said, all right, look, we know Pras can do certain kind of records. Let's just keep going.
He can?
Oh, man. What do you think the budget was in that Blue Angels video?
Man, look. I might not see that much money in my lifetime.
I love that there was a meeting that had to approve that. You know, like there was an agenda. Like there was an agenda. Like meeting minutes were taken, where people had actually like contemplated. Where there's a line item on a budget in a spreadsheet somewhere for how much this video costs.
Did somebody bring in lunch?
Lunch was definitely catered for this meeting. There was probably some storyboards. They were going to talk. You know, the whole nine. Anyway.
That's funny.
People should definitely listen to Fugees Retro. Definitely listen to Busta Retro.
Now, you said a name that was really interesting in your...
Rant?
I don't want to call it a rant because rants usually have a negative connotation. I don't think anything you said was bad.
Okay.
But you said Puff.
Yeah.
And your man, Sean Combs, mm-hmm. Sean John Combs, he announced that Bad Boy and the Family, they're going on tour.
They are going on tour. So there was two or three shows that were already pre-announced for NYC coming up this weekend, I think. And yeah, I had seen that, and I saw that, and I was thinking about it. But, you know, those tickets sold out almost immediately. You know, you can't do a Bad Boy and the Family reunion show in New York City. I mean, there's going to be some amazing guests, but I just couldn't get all the logistics worked out in time. But apparently... Now the tickets go on pre-sale tomorrow. So actually, as you guys are hearing this for the first time, it'll be today. So they go on sale Wednesday. What is tomorrow? The 18th.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see the sales numbers, but they're assuming they're going to do big because they're not going to little places.
No,
they're going to NBA arenas.
Yep.
You know, they're in Boston. They're playing. He's going to be where, like, basically, like, this is the sort of thing that you would see. Like, when it's the same. It's mostly the same list of places. Like when I saw Kanye on the Yeezus tour. Like, these are big things, and I know that sounds kind of crazy, but, like, you know, it's a Bad Boy reunion thing. So Puff's got a lot of he's got a lot of confidence.
The gang's all here. I mean, you've got okay. So the first show is in Columbus.
Yeah, it kicks off in Columbus.
Yeah, so tickets go on sale Friday. I will be there. I'm rallying up the troops as we speak. So just to sort of like further drive your point home. The Schottenstein is on Ohio State's campus. It's where the Buckeyes basketball team plays. That holds 18,000.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think that – I don't think that they're going to sell out every venue, but they're going to sell a lot of tickets. You've got Puff. You've got Total. You've got Mace. You've got the Lox. You've got Mary J. You've got –
No Mary J, I don't think.
No Mary J? Really? Faith. I thought I saw Mary. Okay, you got Faith. I'm the lone person who thinks that Faith's first album is better than My Life. Faith wrote some records on My Life, and I feel like she held some of her better records for her album, as she should have. It's like the happy, like Faith's first album is like the happy version of My Life.
But Carl Thomas, 112.
Carl Thomas and 112. Yep.
Kim. So you can look at this track listing, and you can immediately tease out like. I'm sorry. Look at the set, like the people who are going to be there, and you're like, all right, they're definitely going to do. I mean, they're going to do all the hits,
and that's all they need to do.
Unfortunately, your man French Montana is there.
I feel like French is going to be Biggie. So when you hear like the opening drums on "Can't You See," you hear doom doo doo doom. Then you're going to hear ha, and he's going to rap.
Can you imagine if they said, all right, now I need you to rap Biggie's part on every song. Like, I... No. That's if you didn't immediately walk out of the arena, I would be offended. No, not happening.
I just want people to throw things at him.
See, let's just hope they don't do a Biggie hologram.
They do a Biggie hologram, I'm leaving. Your technology is not going to bring Christopher Wallace back to life. Nope, not on my watch. That's not happening because Tupac was still too weird.
See, it's tempting for me because they're doing a show in Boston, but it's Saturday for me, which means even though Boston's an hour and a half away, if it's a Saturday night, it's no big deal.
Y'all can make a weekend out of it.
Right.
Psh, listen, man, you're going to that show. You and your wife are going.
Look.
I know.
Yeah.
But no, y'all. I'm only the thing that will stop me is if he prices himself out.
You can look at the price. You can look at the tickets right now. I mean, basically, I think nosebleeds are going to be $50.
Okay.
Up close seats, you're going to be like $200.
Okay. I saw. I mean, because the only thing I saw on Ticketmaster, they had one ticket that was like $125. I was like, I'm not paying that.
You're not paying that to be that close?
No, I don't need to be that close. I know what they look like. Like when we went to the Kendrick concert in October, they had pit tickets and then they had general admission. We went all the way to the back and we still had great seats. We were right in the middle. We saw everything. We heard everything. Sound was good. Acoustics were good. We were good. We had space to dance and move around and all that. Like people in the pit. I saw videos in the pit and I had some friends that were in the pit and like all you could do was hold your phone up in the air and jump up and down. You couldn't dance. Mm. Nah, you have to have adequate space to dance at a Puff Daddy concert. You crazy? Like, bruh. Yeah, that made my day when you sent me that tweet, man. That really.
If they don't play the Been Around the World remix.
Listen, listen, then I'm walking out. Cause they're gonna end with more money, more problems. They'll probably end with more money, more problems, or something.
You think
like
so? See, the set list for this is super interesting. Like, when do they do "I'll Be Missing You"?
I think they do a Biggie tribute set, and they probably like they'll go from that to like Hypnotize, because you can't end Biggie's set on a bad note.
I mean, there's going to be, I mean, it's going to be hard for them to avoid Big.
No. They're not going to avoid Big.
But I mean, like, you can't just have like a big set. Like, there's going to be like, you know, they're going to do the Only You remix.
They'll probably just have the crowd rap the words to records like that. They could do, I mean, they could do Juicy. They could do Big Papa. Like, all his records, One More Chance. They could just play like the first verse of the records and then everybody sing and then just go a cappella and let the crowd sing.
Where's Shine at? Can we get Shine on this?
He can't come back to America. But
where's Black
if
Rob?
I heard Bad
Black...
Boys Live, son.
Where's Black Rob?
Yeah, Black Rob should be on this tour. He should be.
He probably needs it.
Come on, man.
No, I'm just saying. Last
Stop
I heard,
him out, Devo. Come on,
no,
man.
No, last I heard, you know, things were, you know, this is a big, this would be a big tour.
They better do Let's Get In Special Delivery and like give now you can't give a free G-Dep shout out to somebody who admitted to killing somebody.
Yeah, that's tough.
But gotta bring some kids out to Harlem Shake and leather basketball.
You're game. Talking me into buying tickets for this.
Dude, how could you not? How could you not?
I know.
I'll buy the nosebleeds. Like, I have to be there. Got to be there.
Talking me into it.
Nah, man, you have to. You have to.
Yeah.
There's no way. Certain things, like, it's similar to, like, now that Michael Jackson is dead, it's like, dang, I wish I never got to see Michael live. Or I never got to see Prince live. You know, Stevie was on tour last year. I didn't get to see that. So now this is like our generation, our musical heroes, per se.
We get to see Puff live.
I'm not comparing, but I'm talking about just the Bad Boy era was very important to a lot of us. Mm. We spent 6 hours talking about Bad Boy. How can we not go to this show?
I'm getting you riled up, and we're not even on the riled up part.
We're
of the
not
show
even
here.
On the riled up part. You really like? I got up when I saw the tweet, and then I saw the flyer, and the first stop was at the Shot. I immediately got up and started Harlem Shaking on my desk at work. Immediately, I spit my jersey around and everything. So there's no way I'm not there. I just hope Columbus doesn't sell out.
I think it'd be okay.
Yeah, I think I'll be fine too. So. Anything else? Did you see Drake on SNL?
I did not, actually.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw it.
He did One Dance and Hype, right?
He did Hype, yeah.
That's interesting. How did Hype go?
It sounded okay live. Yeah. It was better than One Dance.
Really?
One Dance was a little pitchy.
Oh.
And he sang to his track. Oh. He sang with the vocals.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a little rough.
Mm.
But Hype went okay.
Yeah.
I went okay.
Have you listened to that album at all since we talked about it?
Yeah, I've listened to it.
Feeling any different about it?
Some records, yeah. Some records, no.
Hmm.
I think the records that I like, I still like or like even more. I've definitely grown. Child's Play has grown on me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good record. It's a good record. Content aside, it's just a great record. I don't even mind the Cheesecake Factory part. Like,
because that's one of those like kind of dumb but people will love it lines.
Yeah, and he's not even like harping on it for as long as I thought he was.
Right.
It's literally like two bars.
Right.
Yeah, nah. Child's Play is great. But now I'm still cool, man.
One more thing I want to mention before we get into the main topic for today's show. You see your man Justin Timberlake has a new single.
I did.
Did you listen to it?
I did.
What'd you think?
It sounds like something I've heard him do before.
Mm.
So I didn't really listen. If you get on Instagram and start taking pictures of you in the studio with Pharrell, you were touching a certain place in my heart. And you can't go from I'm in the studio with Pharrell to Take Back the Night Part 4.
So this is not Pharrell. It's not Timbo. It's Max Martin, who is like the pop guy. And this song is already number one in the country.
Of course.
Like, it was a week and a half. That's all it took. It is...
Dang, designer.
Right.
Just thought about that.
Sorry, One Dance was there for a minute. That was Drake's first number one. You believe that? One Dance.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That makes no sense. But no, it's for... So I guess... Oh, man. They're doing an animated movie based off of the trolls.
Like internet trolls?
No,
or?
Like the dolls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's from the soundtrack to that, which he is he's doing one of the voices for one of the characters.
Of course he is.
But this is not the lead single from his album.
Nah.
Nah. This is just for the soundtrack. I haven't said that in a while. This is for the soundtrack. Who cares about a soundtrack?
Yeah.
You know what it is, though? It's not even the way that it sounds, but like why this song will be really successful. I mean, obviously, like, it's well done pop, and it's really upbeat and optimistic, which is what's working right now. And that's something I want to talk about later, actually. But
Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength, probably. I mean, remember with Happy, part of why that got so much of a slow burn in play was because it was from the Despicable Me soundtrack.
Yep.
So what'll end up happening with this is it'll get burned now. It probably even went faster than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, but once it'll be in the trailer, it'll be in the video. I mean, it'll be in the movie. And then, you know, assuming it's even a moderate success, the movie is, then kids are going to get it. And then they're going to listen to it. Like, this song will slow burn money forever.
No, I hate Happy Now because of that. Right. And Happy's a great song.
It is, but it's just too much.
Yeah, like now I feel like they play Happy in Hell. Like it's just on continuous. Like the first 100 times you hear it, you're like, yeah. Then like after time 51,342, you're like, oh my God, make it stop. But nah, I'm shocked. I didn't see the video, but I saw that they put out a video already. Like,
yeah, there's been two videos.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, so what do you think about this theory? So they put out the in-studio version just to sort of get it out there. And then, like you said, it blew up unexpectedly. Now it's like, let's hurry up and rush this video out.
Right.
So we can get it on Vivo? Is Vivo the new MTV?
Yeah.
Is that where you rush to get videos out at?
Yeah. I'm waiting for MTV to be the new MTV again. It's right there waiting. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about Vivo.
They don't.
Like, that brand name means nothing.
Only to artists. Because I've had some behind-the-scenes conversations with some artists who have Vivos. And I've just asked them, like, well, why? Why do you have a Vivo? But I guess it's quality purposes. It's like, it's a few other things. But, like, the general public, the casual viewer, doesn't care about any of those reasons.
Right. And the fact that it's, I mean, I know that Vivo is like a part of YouTube, and obviously YouTube is everywhere. But like, I really just find it amazing that after all these years, MTV never took a swing at this.
Yeah.
Like they never took a real shot at this. It's like, really?
Yeah.
That brand name just sitting out there.
Music television.
What a time.
What a time. Yeah, you're right. It's right at the rim. And not just MTV2 or MTV Jams or VH1 Soul. Even VH1 Soul, like when I had super duper deluxe cable and had 7,000 channels, VH1 Soul was one of the only channels that I watched. Why? Because it played all videos. They played dope videos.
It would be like if ESPN hadn't been early to online, like to watching sports online. Like first it was what, ESPN3, and then became Watch ESPN and all that. Like even if they... Show. Right. Like, even if, let's imagine a world where ESPN wasn't early to that and some competitor, like if YouTube launched like YouTube Sports and like ESPN right. never did anything online, really, it's the same. That's how I feel about MTV. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense at all.
Boy, that was right there at the rim.
It was. Of course. I heard that song for the first time in like 2 years the other day.
You trying to get your Spotify streams up?
But I'm not gonna tell you about what rappers tell me about what they do with Spotify.
they put their album on silent just let it play.
Yeah, just let it play and get a check.
Yep,
crazy.
I mean, they're probably using up more in electricity, but you know.
I mean, you know, right? So your bill is an extra $50 this month,
right? And you got an extra $10 out of Spotify.
Amazing.
Penny wise, pound foolish. That's the definition. Anyway, so I think that's all the random stuff.
Yeah. Do we want to talk basketball or not?
We can talk basketball real quick. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
So actually in what, like 5 minutes, the lottery selection starts. But
I did see that. Yeah.
But they tease that out for a while. We won't hear anything until like 7:50. It's 7:25 p.m. Eastern right now. So in like 25 minutes, we'll know for sure. But so draft lottery tonight. And game one of Raptors Cavaliers tonight. And then last night was game one of Warriors Thunder. Did you see game one last night?
I didn't. I wasn't at home. I was very upset.
Did you catch any of the highlights?
No. I haven't seen any. I just saw Westbrook was doing Westbrook things and they won.
Yeah, I mean, they won. You know, Golden State got punched in the mouth a little bit. So let's see. Let's see if they respond back. I just can't trust like the Thunder. I know they took down San Antonio. I get that.
That was crazy.
I think they were just too athletic for San Antonio, but like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't trust Billy Donovan as like a great coach.
Yeah.
At some point you'd have to imagine that Westbrook and Durant are going to play who's going to be the hero tonight and it won't work. Because they do that all the time. Like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's really possible that they took till this deep into the season to figure this out, you know? And if they did, well, that changes everything.
It does.
But at the very least, you know, we can probably, I mean, who knows, right? You know, everything could fall apart tonight. But assuming everything doesn't fall apart, at the very least, this looks like it's going at least six.
Oh, the West Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least six.
Yeah.
East Coast, gentlemen, sweep.
Five?
Yeah, I give him five. They'll win one in Toronto.
Mm.
I think Lowry's comments, I think they stirred the hornet's nest. You've already got an agitated Bron. Bron's been sending shots. And then I think if Golden State makes it to the finals, you have your WrestleMania 17 moment where Austin turned heel and aligned himself with Vince McMahon. I think Adam Silver gives Steph Curry the chair. And Curry bashes LeBron over the head with it.
Mm.
And they have a beer together. Jim Ross damns Steph Curry to hell. And they go off the air. I think that's what happens.
I really want to see a rematch of last year. If only because, I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, I think that's the best team in the East versus the best team in the West. But also, Cleveland had, like, nothing left.
Right.
Like, I feel like I say this a lot on the show. Like, I feel like people really have completely forgotten what LeBron had to do in those first, like, three or four games of that series. Like, he slowed everything down. Everything went through him.
Yep.
Like, he totally mucked up the series. I mean, they were up 2-1. Could have been 3-0.
Yep.
Literally because of LeBron.
Yep.
And because he's LeBron, he gets no credit for that at all.
At all.
And now they've got Kyrie. And now they've got Love, and they appear to have figured out that yes, if you put Love at the five, and LeBron at the four, or even if you bring in Channing Frywood, but if you put Love at the five, it changes everything for that offense.
Yep.
They finally figured that out. So, you know, I think what'll happen is, like, let's say it's a gentleman's sweep, and then whoever comes out of the West, aside from a couple people who want to stir up things, I think the general consensus would be that whoever comes out of the West let's assume it's Golden State. Golden State would definitely be favored. I don't know. I feel like Cleveland doesn't get enough respect. What do you think?
I want Cleveland to win, but I don't want Cleveland to win.
All right. So why don't you want Cleveland to win?
Because Mo Williams is on the team.
Hmm. Grudges really die hard.
Come on. Like, nah, you can't. Nah, you're not going to cry on Twitter after LeBron leaves and then when he comes back, you get to reap the benefits and get a ring.
There are a handful of reasons why we hope Cleveland doesn't win a ring. Number one, Comic Sans Dan.
Oh yes, him as well. I forget. That never gets old. That's gonna be funny forever.
Right. You know what would be the ultimate like chair shot moment would be LeBron wins the title for Cleveland and then opts out. Literally he just posts something to Instagram. It's him writing a letter in Comic Sans where he says he's leaving Cleveland.
Where's he go? Back to Miami?
Wherever. He could just sign a series of 1-year deals, go to random teams.
He could pull the Shaq?
Except he's still got something left.
Right. He's not number. Like, that's when you know your wash is when you have like a random number. Like Shaq was like 67.
Right. You can't even pull weight to get your real number. It's like starring at number 44, LeBron James, for the Charlotte Hornets. It's like, oh God.
Oh God. Yeah, that's never going to happen. LeBron play for Jordan? Yeah, right.
Jordan be out there at that point, be in his 50s. Can be like, actually, I think he's already in his 50s.
He's in his 50s.
Yeah. He'd be like, nah, I can take him.
Say, he's got shorts under his
right. Pippen would be in his ear in the press box. He's nothing. You could say he's a punk.
Yeah. He's got shorts on underneath his Pele jeans.
What do you think the odds are that Jordan shows up to the taping of Space Jam 2?
And just sits there like with a cigar in his mouth? Oh, I take those odds all day. I'll take those odds like anybody.
LeBron's like, what's going on? It's like, oh, Michael's, it was buried in his last contract. He gets to be an executive producer on the sequel. Next thing you know, LeBron's team's not winning.
Yeah, they lose the game.
Right. Jordan's getting written into the script.
Yo, one of the best Space Jam related tweet I saw was at the end of Space Jam 1, Jordan stretches out for a half court dunk to win the game. In Space Jam 2, LeBron drives and kicks out to Yosemite Sam for a contested three. That's perfect.
See, that's funny, but it's also reflective of how messed up people are about basketball sometimes.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Absolutely.
Whatever.
So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else we want to say about the NBA. So, who do you got coming out of the West?
You can't bet against Golden State. I don't like Draymond Green either.
No.
But you can't bet against Golden State.
He's on the Koofy list.
He's totally on the Koofy list. No disrespect to our Muslim listeners.
No.
But he's on the Koofy list. Absolutely.
Can we call something like the Goofy list or anything else?
Do we have to be PG?
We could be respectful. So what else we got? I mean,
the Coogee list?
He's not. Everybody gets a Biggie 95 sweater. So.
Right. Can we slap it off?
I mean, because he's not on the bum list. That's
he's
different.
He's not a bum.
It's different.
He's not a, yeah, it's different. Deion Waiters is a bum.
Can you believe in the year 2016?
Year of our Lord 2016.
That Deion Waiters is making a difference for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Nah, and shout out to A1. He really tried to talk basketball with me and was like, no, Deion Waiters isn't playing good this season, this series. I don't care. He's still a bum. He's still a bum. He's an absolute bum. The worst thing, I don't think we talked about this on our all bum team list. Maybe we did, but if you guys go to YouTube, there is a YouTube video of Patrick Beverley playing one-on-one against like a 15-year-old girl like at a park. Just solidifies the bummery that is Patrick Beverley. I'm not going to get into much detail, but it's pathetic.
Is it like when you play basketball with like your younger nephew and he tries to get a shot up and you're supposed to let him win, but instead you like swat it over the fence?
No, it's one of the things like where he like fakes you out and then he actually like hits the shot. He wasn't supposed to score at all. You were talking crazy like, yo, you ain't going to score 1 point. And then he scores 1 point, not because you let him, but because he actually got you. So you automatically lose the game, even though you beat him 10-1. He still got that one shot. It's that, which immediately puts you into the bum category.
Mm.
Expeditiously.